You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 399.
Wow, that's crazy.
I know. Getting close to another milestone. And we probably won't do anything special for it, but it's pretty crazy to think about. Almost 400 episodes.
Every episode is special because we talk about Notre Dame football in every episode.
That's true. Today we're going to continue talking about fall camp. We got some more information as far as the series with Wisconsin and Notre Dame. Solon wrote an article for us about recruiting, and there's just some other non-Notre Dame news or non-fall camp news we want to get to as well. But we will go through each of the different positions for Notre Dame's team on offense and defense, give you an update with what Brian Kelly has said on the Saturday press conference and other news that's come out since then. So I guess to get started, let's just hit some of those big topics, Randall, as far as the Wisconsin-Notre Dame series. Pretty exciting. I know we had talked about it a couple weeks ago. It was rumored, but now it is set in stone. The first one will be in 2020, October 3rd at Lambeau Field, and then the following year in September 25th, 2021 at Soldier Field. So Notre Dame has been in Soldier Field before. Most recently, a Shamrock Series game in 2012 versus Miami. And it was a stellar performance by the Irish.
Yeah, as far as the first year at Lambeau Field, I'm glad it's earlier in the year. I was scared that they would try to do it like the last game of the year just to try to get that weather and some snow, which seems to be the thing with Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
Whenever I think of Lambeau Field, it's cold, snowing, and I would hate to play there. But luckily they're doing it the 1st of October. And, should be an exciting, great game.
And the are both of those Shamrock Series games or just the one at Soldier Field?
I'm not even sure about that. I can't imagine that both of them are. But I'm sure they would try to switch that up a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Some other news we can throw in here right away. You probably heard us talk about Irish Don on the pie. He's on the forums quite a bit. And anyways, talked with him the other night. He said he had an interesting story, so talked with him. And we won't give out the player's name we don't want to cause any issues. But he was at a concert. I'm not exactly when it was. Just lately he was at a concert. And he happened to see this player at the concert. And he walked past him. It was like, go Irish. Anyways, it ended up they started talking about Notre Dame. And obviously the guy was pretty excited to talk Notre Dame. Probably doesn't, from where he's from. Let's say it's not Indiana, so most of the people around there aren't Notre Dame fans. Anyways, they started talking about, you know, some of the things, you know, how things were when he was at Notre Dame. And he would have been there when Brian Kelly first came to Notre Dame. And it was very interesting. He didn't have too many good things to say. As far as like the strength and the big things were the strength and conditioning program. He said when he was there, it was terrible. I mean, it was an issue then. It always was. And so, I don't know if it was an issue back then.
That's what makes me wonder. Part of me makes me think this whole thing isn't I told you so. About strength and conditioning, because it clearly things have changed now, and now it seems everyone's saying it's been a problem for so long, and I told you so. I'm not saying it wasn't. But I'm just a little bit, because if it was that bad, then why didn't it get changed 4 years ago?
Because they were winning. When you win 12 games, why are you going to change things? When you go 12-0 in the season, why are you going to change that? As a coach, you obviously feel like you're doing the right thing. And it took an extremely bad year for things to change. So, you know, Longo did come with Brian Kelly from Cincinnati. Maybe we have to call up some Cincinnati players and ask him about those days. But
I remember hearing when Brian Kelly and Longo first came to Notre Dame, they were kind of surprised with what the strength and conditioning program was doing. I forget, I think it was something with doing deadlifts, maybe. I forget exactly what it was, but something where they were just shocked that this is what the players have been doing and they need to get things switched up.
Yeah, well, the one thing, this player did transfer and play somewhere else, so he can compare two different programs. The other thing he mentioned is that Brian Kelly was basically off limits. I mean, as a player, you almost had to make an appointment to talk with him. And this guy should have been, you know, one of the first ones to get access to him. And so that, you know, and that's something that we've seen change. That's supposedly changing. Brian Kelly is no longer calling plays. He wants to be, the players said they want him more involved. And so, you know, maybe there is something to that. And just to hear that coming from a former player, you know, obviously, you know, things didn't go well and he transferred. So you don't know what, you know, he obviously had a little more negative insight on the thing. But just to hear that, and he also said that he wanted to go somewhere to get better coaching. So we can see those things. I mean, it's easy to say that now, but, you know, I'm sure defensive players would have said that, you know, with Brian Van Gorder there, we all wondered why he stayed around so long. And it seems that Brian Kelly is finally making the right changes,
and maybe
according to even what former players are saying.
And maybe that is why certain positions are a little bit harder to recruit, because the perception is that they're not getting good coaching. Like maybe this class right here, or the last 2 years, we haven't been able to get defensive backs, or a whole lot of them anyway. So
yeah, it's just very interesting to hear all that, and it gives me a little more hope for this upcoming year. I mean, I'm feeling pretty positive about where the team is headed.
I'm feeling as optimistic as I ever have, to be honest.
What I'm saying, that gives me a little more excitement. Maybe this is a bigger change than what we expect, than what we thought. It's a huge change, but maybe it's even bigger than any of us imagined.
Yeah.
So, anyways, just a very interesting story. Thanks, Don, for sharing that with us.
Yeah, thank you, Don. And if you guys have a story you'd like to share, you can head on over to the forums. It's free to sign up, forums.irishsportstalk.net. And some other things that were released over the weekend. Notre Dame did an unveiling of their new locker room, and Julian Love was kind of featured. It looked like he had maybe a GoPro in his hand and get a reaction from him and the other players as they were walking through. And it looks awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, there are huge TVs throughout the entire area. It looks spacious. It looks incredible. You need to go check out the video. There was a video on YouTube, but that was more of his reaction than the actual walkthrough. The walkthrough that I was looking at was on Instagram, so maybe check on out or check the Notre Dame Instagram page for that.
And a lot of the players were posting videos on Snapchat as well, which you probably won't be able to see those anymore. But
because Snapchat is an awful platform.
But actually, you get an insight. You get to see a lot of stuff that from the players and what they do in their spare time.
I'm not always sure I want to see it. Well, I don't always want to know.
I'm surprised some of the things that they show on there. But yeah, very impressive. Definitely more modern than what the old one was. I think it's going to help with, you know, recruiting. Guys are going to be impressed. And there's still more changes to come. I mean, I guess it'll be by next year, they're putting an addition on the Goog and have a new practice facility. And that could be huge. I mean, some people are fussing because the same day, or I think it was the same day that Notre Dame, when these videos were being released of their locker room, Texas did the same thing. And if you look at Texas, it's almost like they were trying to, I doubt it was planned, but there is even more insane. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, a little bit of a competition there. But the exciting thing is that Notre Dame is finally, like, competing with other stadiums. We're finally getting away from the tradition. And you know what? When is the last? We aren't hearing that about tradition anymore. It seemed whenever there was a new update or anything, we'd hear all these comments, oh, the tradition, oh, we got to do this and that. You don't hear that anymore.
Yeah. I think, well, once you got past having artificial turf and a Jumbotron, pretty much everything else is off limit. I mean, everything else is on, is available.
Yeah. But with the locker room, they also toured the stadium. The players were able to go upstairs where the prime seating is at. I think Dexter Williams said this is where the rich, this is where you sit when you got money. And there's a lounge up there. I mean, it's impressive. I don't know if we'll ever make it up to that level, Ruben, but we can at least look at the pictures of it. And just the Jumbotron, there was a...
And
if you want to know more about the Jumbotron, I didn't get it tweeted out, but Mike Varell for the works for South Bend Tribune, he had a great article on the Jumbotron and what all happens behind the scenes. And Notre Dame has actually had a guy that's been, I think he ran the Jumbotron, like was in charge of the Yankees, and then he was at the Denver Broncos for 2016. I think last year he spent most of the season at the Notre Dame games taking notes.
Yeah.
You know, people's reactions, you know, as far as what do they want to see, you know, what replay would they have wanted to see, just all those different things. And he's the guy that will be in charge of keeping that all running. And there's a lot that goes into that.
This is the highest quality college football Jumbotron that there is.
Yeah.
So
it might not be the biggest, but it's the best. I mean, it's the
highest
most
definition.
Pixels, yeah. Whatever, if you get in all those details. The good thing is there'll be no ads on there. Sad part, there's no kissing cam, so yeah. I don't know if you ever tried to get, or, you know, the dance. They're not doing anything of that. They're doing replays, highlights. I mean, it's all...
Fan, it's all fan reactions.
All Notre Dame stuff. And
I'm excited about it.
Yeah. The bad thing is they took down the scoreboard on the north end of the stadium, which would be where Touchdown Jesus, where you'd be able to see Touchdown Jesus. So... I'm not totally sure where the people sitting. I'm going to say right now, the cheapest seats in the stadium are going to be under that Jumbotron in the south end zone. You'll be able to see it, and I don't know where you're going to get your score without turning around and looking at it.
Unless but there's going to be video. One. There's going to be video, like a video banner all the way around.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be posted all the time.
Probably not, but I'm sure they'll have it somewhere where you can see it.
Yeah, so it's good. I'm excited to go see the Jumbotron on Sunday. It's this coming Sunday.
Yeah.
And also the movie Rudy, which is the following Friday. I believe it's the 25th. It sounds like the speakers and everything are pretty insane. So anyways, exciting stuff happening at Notre Dame.
Austin Webster was awarded the he was a walk-on, and he did get a scholarship for this upcoming season. He is a senior. He's also the captain. And Brian Kelly said that he said it wasn't planned to give him the scholarship before camp started, but he just proved himself, and he's on two of the special teams, running teams. However, he was also named a captain, so there had to be some indication that before this, he was named a captain, so there had to be some indication that he was a player that, you know, had the right kind of character and was exhibiting those traits that Brian Kelly is so fond of.
The crazy thing about that is he is now officially the 12th wide receiver on scholarship. So, obviously they didn't look at that part when they decided to give him the scholarship. He obviously has other qualities, and didn't really matter what position he played, he was going to get that scholarship. And they, I guess they broke the news to him by having his locker. I guess his locker was the one locker in the new locker room that had his equipment there, or had his uniform and his nameplate there.
In the video that I was watching, yeah, his name is, when they're doing the walkthrough, Brian Kelly puts his name up first out of all the lockers, so that's quite an honor.
Yeah.
All right, noon gold game this Sunday. Brian Kelly, as far as on that, we had talked about before, but Brian Kelly just said he doesn't want Temple to be the first time that guys are having a game experience, so it's going to be like a game experience as far as, or as close as they can get it to a game experience, so that the guys are used to it when Temple,
even going in and out of the locker room.
Yeah, when Temple comes around, it's not going to be trying to figure stuff out, doing it the first time. They'll know what they're doing.
With that, he also mentioned the Jumbotron. They practice in the stadium, and the Jumbotron can be a little bit of a distraction when they're heading south. Which I'm glad they're practicing, but they have played in other stadiums with Jumbotrons. But maybe if they have their own, maybe they were distracted by some of them. Maybe that was an issue at Texas, where they were distracted by the Jumbotron at the one end zone. So maybe this will give Notre Dame a couple more points in their favor as far as being prepared on game day.
NBC announced that Mike Tirico would be handling the play-by-play responsibilities. A lot of people are really excited about that. And he did... Mike was, for I think 10 years, he was on ESPN's Monday Night Football play-by-play announcer. And he also did the Thursday night games for a while as well. So,
he did a couple games last year.
Yeah, from what I was reading, people are very excited about this. I'm not usually super critical one way or the other when it comes to the play-by-play. I just want someone that breaks it down in a descriptive way. Is all that I want. I don't care if they're biased one way or the other. I would rather have more information than bias. I care more about the information than I do about the bias.
Yeah, and he will be joining Doug Flutie, so those are the guys that will be calling the games on NBC.
Okay, I think that's pretty much all of our non-camp related stuff that I've got. I guess besides recruiting, there would be some recruiting.
I'll throw it in now, but Isaac Rochelle, well, the NFL preseason is starting, so there are some Notre Dame players, former Notre Dame players, that are getting their first reps. One of those was Isaac Rochelle for the Chargers, and he got his first tackle, which is great. But the crazy part is his first tackle, they were playing the Seahawks, and he tackles CJ Procise in the backfield. So
for his first tackle.
For his first NFL tackle. So, I'd like to know what the exchange between those two. It didn't really look like they said anything to each other. Right when it happened, but I'm sure they had a conversation about it later.
Yeah.
But, hey, it's good when there's that many Notre Dame players out there.
For some reason, I thought CJ was traded to the Bengals or...
No, that was Chris Brown.
Okay.
Chris Brown went to the Bengals wide receiver, so...
Okay. Recruiting, Solon had an article over on the website analyzing the secondary and talks a little bit about some possible reasons maybe that Notre Dame isn't being as aggressive going after some more secondary commitments. So check that out, analyzing the secondary recruitment. And if you want to comment on that, you can leave a comment either on the website or over on the forums as well. It's posted there as well. Okay, let's talk about camp.
Well, Notre Dame did have one commitment this past week. Kevin Austin committed to Notre Dame on Friday, which it wasn't really a surprise to any Notre Dame fans. You know, there were some rumors that he might pick Duke, or that Duke was making a run at him there at the end, which I'm sure they were, but he's been Notre Dame for a long time. It's just kind of been a known fact, but this is a big-time pickup for Notre Dame. He's 6'3", 198, 4-star, and he was at the opening out in Oregon, and he made a lot of noise out there. It seemed he was always open. He was making plays, touchdowns. I mean, he is a big-time playmaker.
Correct me if I'm wrong. From what I've gathered is that he's not the fastest guy. At 6'3", he's not the biggest guy, but he is fast, and he does have a nice-sized body. So and runs routes pretty well. It's what
he is looked at as potentially being a number one wide receiver on our team. So he is a guy that can be a number one receiver on a team. So this is huge for Notre Dame, and he is highly ranked for. So he is getting the ranking he deserves. But he is from Florida, Pompano Beach, Florida, and there is. Recruiting keeps going. I think the class, Solon kind of touched on a little bit in his article as far as, you know, they want about 20 guys, but it looks like they can take more guys. We're worried about how they're going to fit all these guys, where they're going to get all these scholarships, but look at the team this year. We thought they had that issue, and they still had room to give
walk-on, yeah.
Yeah, they always have room to give a guy a scholarship, and there's always transfers. It's, you know, it looks like there's some other guys that can, when you start looking at guys, how they're involved in camp, which we'll get into that a little more, but it looks like there could be more guys that are potentially transferring. So I'd keep getting commitments from guys. I mean, don't back off. They always have issues, and I'm scared they're going to have issues again, you know, with this DB. Read Solon's article.
Okay, let's start on the offensive side of the ball. Let's start with the quarterback. Not a whole lot new. I know last week we talked about how they were trying to iron out, you know, those five or six plays that Wimbush had down, and they were still working on installment, so they're working on getting those next, those other 30 or so passing routes and plays, so that he's crystal clear on everything he needs to be.
Here's one comment I have for you. Are you worried at all about Wimbush getting hit for the first time? Because here's the thing. Do you know what his last play was in a actual game?
Massachusetts.
No, his last play was against Pittsburgh, where he fumbled the ball and was returned for a touchdown. So when you get all excited, about Wimbush, I'm not trying to be the negative guy here, yeah, but that was his last play, and he hasn't been hit since then.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
It's going to take the bad thing. We've heard this before from other players. They have to get hit, especially come back from injuries. Yeah. Not, you know, they have to get hit a couple times.
He wasn't injured.
No, but he's been thinking about that play for a very long time. And he doesn't get hit in practice. And I hate the idea of...
Yeah,
knowing that he has to get hit a couple times, and it's your quarterback.
I know. I'll be a little bit nervous until he's hit, you know, three times. Yeah. But it's not. I'm not very concerned about it. I'll be a little nervous, but I'm not concerned that he's going to play poorly.
Yeah, I mean, he is looking good, but he isn't getting hit either. Would you let him get hit in a practice?
It depends.
Since he is the number one guy. He's obviously the number one guy.
It depends what the situation is. I mean, if you can't make up your mind between one and two, then yeah.
Well, last year they did that to, you know, Zaire
and Kizer.
And Kizer. Because they had to, but...
No, I wouldn't let him get hit. At least definitely not on a regular basis. Because this is the future of the program for this year and definitely for next year. So we need a healthy number one quarterback. I don't want to rely on a redshirt freshman to lead this team.
Yeah. It's just... Yeah. It's not going to change. Here's the thing. Might as well not worry about it. It's not going to change. He's not going to get hit. And he's just going to have to take that first hit against Temple. So...
Anything more about the quarterback?
No, I mean, it's definitely one and two, just like it has been. Book is number two guy, and looks like he could do a good job if he'd need to come in. So,
offensive line. I don't know. Not really anything new since we discussed it last time.
Well, Alex Barrs is still, Brian Kelly says he's had the best camp out of anybody.
On the offensive line.
Well, he's had one of the best camps, period. And so he's becoming, it's good to hear that because you're adding that to two very great offensive linemen already. I guess the other thing as far as center, you know, Sam Mustafer is doing a great job. And Brian Kelly said that the other day they ran 76 plays and there was no drop-off. Like, he was just as good on play 76 as he was on the first. And that's good to see because that wasn't the case last year. Which it comes down to conditioning again. A lot of it does. But Trevor Ruland is his backup. That's who would come in as the backup center. And then Brian Kelly was asked, you know, who the guys were that would come in. You know, who they have their starters. I mean, right now Kramer's going to be the starter at right tackle. And then you have Eichenberg, you know, we thought could possibly be the backup, but Brian Kelly said he's the backup left tackle, and that's where they're keeping him. So you could potentially have Robert Hainsey, the freshman, as the right tackle backup. But, you know, that could all change. I mean, that's what they're saying now. But, you know, depending where it's at in the season, obviously you'd bring in Eichenberg as a tackle versus Hainsey. But Hainsey is very impressive, very mature. And Brian Kelly, they keep mentioning him. So
does that leave Bivin then pretty much the guard backup?
That's what it looks like. So, yeah, I mean, you basically got your start. It's good to see that they've got their starters. They know who the backups are. That way they can work together. And, you know, I think that's what they need. I mean, that's what they've needed before. Whenever I hate when there's a question on who's going to be the starter, because the offensive line needs to work together.
There was a little bit of a question, but pretty much even in the fall, I mean, it was Kramer, and then Eichenberg would be fighting for a chance to start at that right tackle spot too. But I think it has been pretty clear that Kramer is the guy.
Yeah.
Especially if they've already moved Eichenberg over to back up at the left tackle.
Yeah.
All right, tight ends. Brian Kelly did say that Cole Kmet, they're repping him as if he's going to play against Temple.
And I might have to eat my words saying that none of the freshmen would play this year.
He did say that, you know, he has seen where after midway through the fall camp or at some point in fall camp, the guys just totally drop off and forget the playbook and just they just can't.
But it seems like there's something special about these freshmen. They, you know, you can't pick them out compared as far as size. You can't pick them out. I mean, they look just like Durham Smythe, who's been there for a long time already. So it seems like they're ahead of the game, and they're definitely going to keep the tight end U tradition going.
And it's a good thing because Alize, Brian Kelly said that I think he said he would be clear today for Monday, and then he'd probably be back in the 7-on-7 drills Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, I think he was doing 1-on-1s today, but
it still
they
worries
me. They
got to
be careful with him.
But that's another reason I'm glad to hear how confident they are in Kmet. I mean, as long as he'll be able to keep on going, they have a lot of faith in him at this point. So, okay.
But at some point, Alize Jones has got to
be the
still
player
hear that
we all...
hasn't. Exactly. We still haven't, you know, he's had this injury now, and it's still all hype.
Randall, we do have, we're talking about tight ends.
Did you say he's going to be the second leading receiver on the team?
No, I said Stefferson.
Oh, okay.
I know. I'm just looking at our, that's why I was pulling
Sorry,
up right
I
now.
Sorry, I should have brought that up.
But I was going to write down what you said. Was your prediction, I know I made a prediction on the tight end, on the freshman tight ends. Was yours that they wouldn't even play?
I had, I think January, February, about the time that they were signing, I had said that the tight ends were both going to redshirt.
Okay.
But I'm changing that now.
We can't change it. We don't know yet. This is a strong take, because I think my prediction was that one of the freshman tight ends would have more touchdowns than I forget exactly how it was, Durham Smythe or...
Oh, that's right. I kind of forget how that was. You should have written that down.
I know. We do have paper now. I think I'll still go with it. I think one of the freshman tight ends will be the second leader in touchdown receptions of the tight end group.
I think it'd be Cole Kmet. Right now, he's the guy that would play. Brian Kelly said he's in the mix. It sounds like Brock Wright would be, out of those two, he would be the one to redshirt. But, man, that's some... Durham Smythe is going to be out there. He's going to be the first tight end out there. Alize has got to heal up. Were you saying he was second behind Alize Mack?
Yeah, clearly. I mean, okay. I didn't say Alize
so
Mack.
So he'll be ahead of Durham Smythe.
Yeah, that is what I was getting at.
You can make that prediction. He won't be ahead of Durham Smythe.
In touchdown receptions, not in catches, but...
I know.
Okay. Well, that's one thing we're trying to do is do a better job of the predictions that we make. Okay, that's all I've got for tight ends. Wide receivers, Brian Kelly.
EQ has punched his ticket to the train.
In the words of Brian Kelly, EQ has his ticket punched. And then Cameron Smith is the person or the player that is the second closest to doing that. Brian Kelly said that they keep track of, with GPS, they keep track of everything, their overall distance that they've moved and their top-end speed, and was just really impressed with Cameron Smith's endurance, because even after they're going for, I forget what distance he said, but basically he's going really hard even after a long and hard practice.
Yeah.
And the consistency that he's shown is one of the reasons that he's the second closest guy to punching his ticket. And he also said that a lot of the other receivers, they've been moving them around, so it's not like they're necessarily very far away from, you know, from getting a spot.
Well, here's one issue. There's now 12 scholarship receivers.
I don't think we need to worry about
Brian Kelly said Webster. They're trying to have a rotation of 7 of them. So when you start looking at it like that, there's more than 7 players that could get, that you think should get some playing time.
Well, let's
but
just
they're
name,
fighting for those
name
7 spots. Well, first of all, what do you think of Cameron Smith being number 2?
I'm shocked by it. I didn't think any of these transfers would play a role, even though Brian Kelly's been saying they will. I didn't really believe it.
I always thought that Cameron Smith would have a role. I didn't necessarily see him as a starter, but I figured that he's one of those guys that fans would know he's out there. He's getting enough receptions, you know, that he's making an impact. But as far as being the number 2 guy, I didn't expect that. But you start looking at what he's done. We mentioned last week, like, he has been in Dell Alexander's offense. He's been coaching with him for 4 years, I believe. And he has been in Chip Long's offense. He knows this. He should know this playbook better than any of the receivers. And you start looking at numbers, he actually has more experience than any of these guys. Obviously, EQ has the most experience, and EQ has, I had his stats right here. His career, he has 59 receptions for 969 yards. All of those were last year except for one in 2015 as a freshman. Then there's a huge drop-off after that. I mean, the next guy is Kevin Stefferson with 25 catches for 462. Well, Kevin Stefferson has basically disappeared. Cameron Smith has 61 receptions. He has more receptions than St. Brown and just a few less yards. He has 917 versus 969. So he is very experienced. He's been with these coaches more than any of these other guys. I mean, his biggest thing has just been injuries. And I think if he wouldn't have had those injuries, he wouldn't be at Notre Dame.
And
he would have had a successful career at Arizona State.
When Brian Kelly was talking about his stamina, and it was because of his injuries, he was talking about how they're not worried about him getting re-injured because of what he's showing
his
them
GPS,
in the data.
All the data that he's showing. And I think he knows a little more about himself. Right now, I can't think of who wrote the article, but Cameron Smith actually did switch to more of a medical field for his major, and he wants to learn more about himself, his body, you know, why did this happen, you know, how can you prevent this from happening, and he's actually studying that at school, and he says it's helped him out, it's helped him from not getting injured. I mean, he knows, you know, maybe you need to strengthen this muscle. I mean, obviously strength and conditioning staff helps with that, but he has the knowledge himself to maybe help with that. So the biggest thing for him is going to be to stay healthy. So once you start looking at all this, it shouldn't be surprising that he is the number 2 guy. And especially since this offense, we keep hearing that the defense is ahead of the offense and they're installing all this new stuff, which shows that there are a lot of changes with this offense, which gives him more of a head start, which puts him ahead of the other guys. It gives him an advantage. So,
Randall, let's just go through the 7-man rotation.
Okay.
Just for fun. All right, so clearly we've got EQ and Cameron Smith. Those are the two that Brian Kelly mentioned, and those are definitely two guys. Now, who else would you put in that seven-man rotation? Would you put Chase Claypool in there?
Yes.
I think you need to.
Okay. Yes.
What about C.J. Sanders, another disappearing man?
Well, maybe we should mention guys that we should know for sure.
Let's make it easier. Yeah. I think Fink before Sanders, so maybe we should start with Fink.
Okay, so you got EQ, Cameron Smith, Chase Claypool.
I think
Miles Boykin is in there.
Boykin's clear. And then I think the freshman that Brian Kelly had mentioned earlier, I don't know if you put both of them in there. Michael Young. Who was he higher on, Michael Young or Armstrong?
Michael Young. He says Michael Young will play this year, and he's also in the mix for punt returns, kick returns. I'm not sure which one, but returning the ball. So he's in the mix there.
We've got six right now. If we go with EQ, Cameron Smith, Chase Claypool, Boykin, Young, and Fink. That's six. And we didn't mention Stefferson. That wouldn't include...
I think Sanders actually gets in the wide receiver rotation before Young does. There's hype around it, but you got to look at it. Sanders is still... I think Sanders is going to get in there before Young does.
Okay. Honestly, I'm kind of happy if it is a seven-man rotation, because that would mean there's a chance for Stefferson to still be in that rotation. Because if it's not that deep of a rotation, I don't know if, unless something changes soon, I just don't know.
Yeah, he doesn't see, it doesn't look like he's taking reps with, he's hardly taking any reps with the team.
But
maybe the only other thing is, maybe they're doing all this in the closed practices, and they're going to unveil the Kevin Stefferson. But no, it doesn't seem, I mean, there's even comments from other teammates. There's obviously some guys on the team that aren't bought into the system. And they said, I think it was Andrew Trimbetti was the one that said that it's obvious who is and who isn't. And I'd say when you say that to someone, the first person you think of is Kevin Stefferson. But who knows? We could be wrong.
All right, running back situation.
I like what Dexter Williams said. They asked what the biggest difference was between this year and last year with the offense. He said, we're running the ball a lot more. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come. But Brian Kelly mentioned that the three running backs, Adams, Jones, and Dexter, they can each do something different. Josh Adams is the slasher that does things in the second level, which we've seen that. We know what he can do. Tony Jones is the best at catching the ball. And then Dexter, it has a quick first step. So I guess the bad thing about each one doing this individual thing, you can kind of see what's going to happen. But kind of how I see it playing out, I think Dexter is going to probably get feedback for this. Dexter's got to come in and do the dirty work for Adams like Folsom did last year. Adams is still, he's a great player, I'm going to say that, but Adams is going to thrive the most if Jones and Dexter can get those first yards for him. Break things open. Adams is going to look good. Okay,
but do you honestly expect, from what you're saying then, you expect more of a situational running back system?
Well, they can all, supposedly all do this. It's just each one is like the number one. They each, their best... whatever you want to call
their strength is something different.
But to see how they're going to get all three of these guys involved, that's going to be fun to see.
Yeah, I'm still really curious to see how this is going to work out. As far as, is it going to be a series by series type rotation? Which I think that's where it's going to end up being the majority of the time.
A lot of the time, the
backs will be in there for the whole series unless they get really gassed for a long run.
Adams will probably come out play a couple plays, not do a whole lot, and get Dexter and Jones come in.
I don't understand why you hate Adams so much.
I don't. I do not hate Adams. Why, I love the guy.
Why do you think these other backs are superior then?
I'm not saying they're superior. That what I'm saying is these guys are all going to get work, but Adams is going to be the guy, is the guy that looks so great because he has, you know, a 70-yard run that was all set up by Folston or Dexter or somebody else.
Even Brian Kelly, Folston was just slow.
Oh, I know he was.
Okay.
I'm not saying that he was a better back than Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, than Adams. But Adams would have a hard time. If he'd be the only guy on here, he'd have a hard time putting up the numbers that he does.
Well, as long as he would stay healthy, I don't think he'd have a problem with it. I mean, yeah, was he running a little upright as a freshman? Yes. And even last year.
I'll tell you what, he can get those short yards. But if somebody's going to have a big play, it is, if somebody's going to come in, you know, and make a big play, it's Adams. And he is better at that. These other guys won't. I mean, as the game goes on, there's a better chance that Adams, but Adams gets the glory for it, is what I'm saying. And he does deserve it, but I always try to give a little bit of credit to these other guys.
Yeah, but
what
I feel like fans give a lot of love to Dexter Williams when he had an explosive run here or there.
True.
All right, let's move on then. We can argue more about it after the Temple game. Anything else on offense? I don't have anything more.
I think that's about it. I mean,
let's do special teams before we go to defense. Brian Kelly said he would. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to have one guy be the kicker, one guy be the kickoff kicker, one guy be the field goal kicker, one be the kickoff kicker, and one be the punter. I couldn't hear everything that he said, but I believe he said that Yoon is the field goal kicker, and Jonathan Dewar is the kickoff kicker, and then the punter. The punter being, yes, the long-haired kid, Tyler Newsome.
He doesn't have long hair anymore.
Yeah, you're right. Haircut. So basically, that's how it's going to be. But he said if it ends up that one of these guys is doing two different jobs, it just means that they accomplished what
they mastered their
thing, and now they're mastering the other person's thing.
I like the idea of having the three different kickers.
I think it's fine too. I definitely don't see Tyler Newsome taking over any of the other two jobs. I guess maybe kickoff, but definitely not field goal kicker.
I think if somebody else takes a position, it would be the kickoff spot.
And you wouldn't have freshmen. Yoon taking the kickoff spot.
Yoon doing kickoff, yeah. But I think he needs to focus on field goals and not, there'd be less fatigue for him by not doing the kickoffs.
Yes. Okay, let's talk about defense then.
And as far as return guys, they're still figuring that out. Brian Kelly said they did, it was in Saturday's practice, they did have some live kickoff coverage and, you know, special teams, but they haven't done much of that, and so they're still figuring out who will be the return guys, and I'm not too worried about that. You got a bunch of guys that can do that. I mean, I'm hoping it is C.J. Sanders, even though he made some mistakes, you know, as far as fielding the ball right outside the end zone, you know, or some things like that. I think he's still the, which people tell me this is the mentality you should have about Josh Adams. He's your guy that could score a touchdown. So.
Okay, on defense, starting with the defensive line. Is there anything new there since we discussed it last time?
Brian Kelly said he was impressed with Jay Hayes and was asked if Jay Hayes is going to move inside. He said, no, they're going to keep him at strong side. I guess we'll see at that. I still think
I know,
he might,
Brian Kelly can say that, and I don't really believe that it's never going to happen.
Yeah. And then Jerry Tillery, he says he's added strength. That's one thing you need to do. He's added strength, so he's looking better. And But with Jay Hayes, he mentioned him in last, was it Tuesday's press conference, and then also on Saturday, he said the biggest difference in Jay Hayes from last year to this year is his physicality, and he's assignment correct. So he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, which that's good to hear. It's probably a little bit easier to understand the offense too defense versus last year. But it seems like everything's worked. The defensive line is starting to take shape.
I mean, and hearing good praise from, I believe it was Dalen Hayes, about their new defensive line coach, Mike Elston, just doing a good job. I think some of the words used were being intentional and just being very direct or being very clear about what they needed to do. And so that's good to hear too, because I know we had heard some question marks about Mike Elston at the defensive line, but the players are giving positive feedback, and we'll see soon enough.
But basically, it looks like you got Dalen Hayes at the rush end, Jonathan Bonner and Jerry Tillery inside, and then you got Jay Hayes at the strong side, and Andrew Ciambetti at both defensive end positions. Then Brian Kelly was asked who the next guys in are. And the first one would be Khalid Kareem, then Micah Dutredway, and then he said two of the freshmen. So it's starting to look pretty good.
The two freshmen being Kurt Heinisch and Myron
Tagovailoa. It's good to see it take shape and the guys knowing what they need to do. And the defense is ahead of the offense, supposedly, so.
Do you
buy into that?
No.
Well, I think...
I don't know. I
think everybody's just so shocked to see a good defense out there.
Maybe.
It sounds like the offense is still working on getting their new stuff installed. And
here's one of the things that Dalen... Right, is that how I told you it was? Dalen Hayes said...
Yeah.
One of the differences from last year to this year. And one of the things was being more disruptive to the passer. And one thing, it wasn't Dalen Hayes I was talking about. It was, I forget who it was, but it was someone on defense, one of the players. And he said that one thing is the defensive line is getting off the ball and then using their hands, their mirror hands, to try to get in the passing lanes and knock the ball down. I didn't think it was a defensive lineman.
Okay.
But maybe it was. And that's something that they've really been working on. That just shocks me that wouldn't be something you would be spending a lot of time on working on last year. And I know, I think maybe the only player that really knocked any passes or balls down was probably Jerron Jones. Yeah. I think Isaac Rochelle might have got a few. But you would think, it seems to happen to Notre Dame when we're on offense all the time, that the defensive line has their arms in the air trying to get their hand in the way of the ball. And I'm just shocked that it wasn't a huge thing for the Notre Dame's defense last year.
Yeah, like I said, I think the defense does look a lot better just because it didn't take that much to make them look better. So, I don't know.
All right.
It's good to hear. I don't mind if the defense is that good.
It was Nick Coleman was talking about it.
Okay.
So let's talk about the linebackers, and then we'll get on to the defensive backs. Linebackers.
Not a whole lot to update. I mean, that's pretty well figured out. And
the biggest question is the Buck
linebacker between Martini and Tevon Coney.
But I didn't hear a question on that, so I'm not sure where that's at. No. And then at cornerback, so Sean Crawford is one of the starting cornerbacks. So I guess that means
he's a nickel. Is he one of the starting quarterbacks? I mean, cornerback.
I'm pretty sure that's what Brian Kelly had said.
Okay. But they're...
So, yeah, if they'd be playing a third defensive back, he would be that nickel back. However, when they're playing more of a standard 4-3 with two cornerbacks, then the way I understood it, he would be one of those two cornerbacks.
Well, Julian Love is starting cornerback. That's the guy he said is starting cornerback. I didn't hear for sure the other side. You might be right. I didn't catch that part. But he said Julian Love is a starting cornerback, because he was asked if Julian Love is going to play safety.
Yeah.
Well, then he said, yeah, he'll probably play some. Maybe he could play on third down, and they'll have some special package for him. So he is taking some reps at safety, but he said he is a starting cornerback. But it's, I guess, the biggest thing, you know, that would determine that is how good Dante Vaughn is playing.
Or Nick Watkins as well.
Yeah, but it's Love and Vaughn were basically the one side, and then you have Watkins.
Well,
and
maybe you're right there on Sean Crawford. Maybe I heard that wrong.
But well, I could see him starting. I'm not going to argue that. I mean, I would be totally fine with Love and Crawford starting. But Vaughn is doing a good thing. Watkins, I mean, the cornerback position is looking pretty good. I'm not too worried about that. It's once you start getting into the safeties. But Vaughn did miss some practice last week. He had a sprained neck. I guess he actually missed, they were tackling, he didn't miss a tackling dummy, but they have pads. I wonder if it's when they tackle a ring and they land on the pad. He missed that and landed on the ground and somehow messed up his neck. So I guess nobody had their Snapchat.
And Brian Kelly was maybe the only guy sure to make it clear that it was a non-contact neck injury.
Yeah. I guess maybe the only guy that would have been taking a video of him on Snapchat could have been Kevin Stefferson. I didn't check his feed. But
I may just totally have misheard that as far as Sean Crawford. Yeah, he is a starting nickelback, and I was thinking also just the cornerback. Yeah. But
I'm not totally clear. Love is the starting cornerback.
But Julian Love is one, yeah.
But I could totally see Sean Crawford. He was last year before he got hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, even though when it was nickel package, he slid over to the nickel, mm-hmm. but he was a starting corner.
Still no update. Okay, are you done with cornerbacks now?
Yeah.
So safety, still no update with Gilman. And again, I don't expect to hear anything.
Well, just last week they did the NCAA.
They're waiting on Navy to respond, right?
Yeah, I forget which school it was now. There's another school that they finalized some things with them as far as being allowed to play or not. And so Notre Dame could have been the next on the list, but they were waiting on some things from the academies. So, but yeah, there's a lot of questions. They can use all the help they can get at safety. Seems like,
Nick Coleman though. Yeah. I'm very happy with him, and I think he'll definitely be a starter. And he was a starter at cornerback last year, which is just hard to kind of imagine that he kind of his fall from grace.
Brian Kelly was asked about some of the young guys. Genmark Heath, he had a mild hamstring injury, but is cleared to play now, and he supposedly has a chance to get on the field this year, which it's a safety position we're talking about, so that shouldn't be a shocker. But Isaiah Robertson, Genmark Heath could be. I mean, he was dealing with the injury. That's why we didn't see more of him. But then Isaiah Robertson, he said, we'll see some action this year. And I think it definitely helped Isaiah with being here for the spring. And he's a big guy. And he looked, he had some good plays in the spring practice. I remember noticing him on the field in the blue gold game. I wouldn't mind seeing what he could do out there.
All right, that's all I've got. We've got the spring practice, the new and gold game this Sunday. Looking forward to that. Hope you guys are able to make it out and enjoy that.
One other thing Brian Kelly mentioned is he had to mention Jordan Spieth, golfer. And, of course, he's Under Armour sponsor, so we won't. I guess the New York Times had done an article on Spieth. And Brian Kelly, we don't know if he just randomly thought of this or if it's because he's also an Under Armour guy, but he said he liked it was a great article, and he said if it was an article, if they're going to write something for Brian Kelly, that was it. Basically, he was saying, you know, he talked about it to the team. Jordan Spieth isn't the guy that has the longest drives or the best putter or whatever, but he said he's got grit and he puts it all together and wins championships, majors. So he mentioned that to the team, and it is good, you know.
Did you read the story?
No, I didn't. But the New York Times had a story about it, so he keeps mentioning that grit to the team. But hey, at least he's picking
grit,
good role models.
Grit and attention to detail. All right, thank you guys for listening. If you want to join the conversation, head on over to forums.irishsportstalk.net. Send us an email, mail@irishsportstalk.net, and follow us on Twitter or Facebook. And I'm really excited about this Sunday and really excited about the upcoming football season. So thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.